Welcome to the HIV Australia podcast, a discussion about the community-led response to HIV. Dr. Ronovan Garcia Pagdakan is the founder and executive director of Love Yourself in the Philippines, a service which helps gay men and other men who have sex with men. Vin sat down with Heath Painter from the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, who started by asking what it's like to be a gay man in the Philippines.
Hashtag it's more fun in the Philippines. Well, seriously speaking, being gay man in the Philippines is just like being gay man in Taiwan and Thailand. Basically, the environment's very friendly to gay men, but still there are basic human rights needs that hasn't been answered or called for in the Philippines. For example, the usual civil union issues of other Asian countries, it's not yet allowed in the country. So basically, in the Philippines, being gay is okay, but not super. So Philippines is very gay tolerant, but in terms of acceptance, it's maybe 50-50. Very recently, there was a poll on of our Congress asking if Filipinos are amenable to civil union, and 50% said yes they are, but other 48% said no, and the reason usually is because of religious reasons, and Philippines is predominantly Catholic and Muslim, so there are very future-oriented people, but there are still ultra-conservative people of the society that, you know, who believes that only a man and a woman should get married.
And can you tell us? So that's what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we could talk for a long time about being gay in the Philippines. But with that snapshot, what's it like for people from the Philippines and from the region you work in? What are the kinds of experiences they have when they visit countries like Australia and big cities like Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne?
Well, there are two types of people who might visit here or go here. The first one are the people who are already out in the country, because as you know, as I've mentioned, it's 50-50 in the Philippines. So 50% of the people are super happy that you're flamboyant and, you know, gay as you can be. And the other 50%, usually in the province and the suburbs, they still believe that, you know, being gay is a sin. And some of the gay men in the Philippines cannot out themselves with their family. So the other 50%, when they go here, they just be the same and happy. But the other half, I think, are the ones who might be at risk, because when they go to countries such as Australia, which is a very, you know, LGBT-friendly country, and they start to liberate themselves, and, you know, that's the time that they explore their sexuality, and then they go online and meet people, have fun, and those things. And then suddenly they get afraid of what might happen to them, because primarily people who go here in Australia are young professionals in the Philippines planning to have, you know, a better future when it comes to their economy. And, you know, they go here mostly based on my experience and based on my knowledge, that most go here as students applying to be healthcare providers. And then the issue comes in when they get sick and they might have problems with their visa. And that creates a very big problem for them, because number one, they're here because they want to give support to their family back home, and number two, their family back home don't know that they're gay. And there's another aspect to that. If they become HIV positive, then the issue of their visa that might be revoked, that they don't know what will happen, becomes a bigger issue for them, bringing them high levels of anxiety.
And so in terms of because it's interesting, because in Australia, and in particularly in Melbourne and Sydney, we're seeing increases in HIV notifications among Asian-born gay men. And I'd be interested to know what you think we could do here to support people coming into Australia from Asia who are gay men who might need support to support them with managing sexual health risk and risk of STIs in Australia. What do you think we could do?
Well, it really depends on which part of Asia, but particularly in Southeast Asia, people who go here are actually college or uni graduates who want to go here for a better future. Thus, they are aware that there's an epidemic in their respective country, and they know about HIV, and they know that, you know, there are risks, and there could be issue with their, again, with the word visa, if things go worse. And it's really nice that they can have access to gay-friendly services who they know that they will feel safe when they go there. They will not be reported. They'll be given proper support and management, so things like that. Because, for example, Filipinos going here, they're normally healthcare providers, so they know about HIV. Mm. And it's just that they're afraid to seek for support or help because they might get reported to the immigration or police, right? Like, so I think one of the low-hanging fruits here is that for us to have access partnerships in terms of providing access to potential services that they can get. For example, they might need help when it comes to HIV testing or sexual health. So maybe we can provide availability, for example, because in the Philippines, Love Yourself is the most visited website to HIV when you talk about HIV. So maybe we can place a segment there talking about travelers or a campaign about people who are traveling, who are Asian born, who are traveling to Australia, and each area in Australia has a different service, and each area I know has an organization taking care of gay men, and then we can provide that access service to them. I think that's a very, very good intervention or program already. Just the idea of, you know, because they would feel safe here because they would know that they will not be reported. And also, maybe if there's an LGBT organization here in Australia who can help them when it comes to, you know, the issues that they're thinking about when it comes to their health vis-a-vis their capability to stay here, that has consequences when they get HIV, or that might have consequences when they have HIV. So I think definitely sharing resources through social media and a campaign would really, really work, because the services are here. It's so amazing. I love the prep here, and I would like to bring that to the Philippines. And, you know, it's just that people need to know, especially the Asian boys, we're shy boys. we just need to know through the applications and accesses that we use, the services that you can avail here. For example,
we need to make them available
for
everyone.
Because it's available for everyone, but it's just that they might not know it. For me as an Asian person, and the most accessible way to do that is through a campaign using the gay apps, Hornet, Grindr, Blued. And then if we can access WeChat or Line, those are the things that are very accommodating for us, because we normally communicate in Asia, usually Southeast Asia, we communicate using those applications. Of course, Facebook is there, Instagram is there, and it's easy if we can access it that way, because unlike before, when you do Facebook, we can just, if you didn't like the page, you won't see what's happening, right? But, you know, if there are other platforms that we can access and see, because I love the campaigns that you do here. It's so, you know, sex positive, and Asian boys, they think we're shy, but really we're not, and we like those campaigns. You know, I could speak for myself, but you know, there was a sexy campaign that we did in the Philippines. It was very effective. In Thailand also. So I think the campaigns that you have here will resonate to us. It's just that maybe it needs to reach us in a more accessible way for us. because it might be coming into from traditional access points.
Yep. Vim, thank you again. Thank you for joining us for this episode, second episode of HIV Australia.
Thank you.
HIV Australia podcast. Thank you. Thank you.